Hello and welcome to today's Hive. And we've got Lorna, Charlotte and myself, Jo Moffat. And today we're going to be talking about leaders and EQ, why it matters, especially at the moment, and obviously what it is, and how you can coach your leaders to better use it. So can you kick us off, Lorna, with a brief explanation, a definition of EQ?
So for me, when I'm working with leaders or coaching them, the way that I tend to describe it is your EQ is how emotionally connected you are to both the people you're leading or impacting upon and to yourself and what's going on for you and what you, the choices you make around how you adjust to get the best out of yourself and other people. And if you think about it less as a test or a quotient and more as a dial, so we're all at some point at different points on that dial, depending on what's going on for us and what's going on around us. Mm-hmm. But really it's having empathy and connection with people to know how is what I'm doing landing, and with yourself to say, well, how am I and what might I need to adjust to better connect with my people.
Sure. Okay, great. And this has really come to the fore, of course. And you were very much at the start of this at an event you were at a couple of weeks ago, weren't you, Charlotte, where this was at centre stage and no one quite realised what was lurking around the corner.
No, absolutely right, Jo. I was chairing the Digital Workplace Conference a little over a month ago, and the opening speaker was painting a picture of the future of the workplace and talking about the fact that EQ, would be as valuable an asset and a skill to sit alongside AI. She was talking about 5 years ago. Little did we know the seismic shift in the workplace was literally 4 days around the corner.
Right, absolutely. And from an internal communications perspective, how can we and how should we encourage leaders to step away from the facts and the data and feel more confident about applying some of these principles in their communication to their people, particularly now their people are remote?
Yeah, I can talk about that. I've been working with some leaders over the past couple of weeks in trying to help them hone and shape their messages. The tendency is they're over-reliant on their facts and figures and their data, and we're asking them to come out from a place of comfort into a place where they feel less confident. So one of the ways that they can start to be more empathetic in their communications is actually to focus on the empathy first. So focus on the empathy messages first, and then put the business critical messages under that. So what I'm finding they're tending to do is to put all of the business critical messages up front, and then a little bit of a kind of hope you're okay, everybody and your family is at the bottom. And so let's flip this, and instead let's start with, how are you doing? How are you coping? This is how I'm coping. This is what my office looks like. This is what my pet's like. Try and put yourself first, and then the messages after that.
Right. Okay. And what about content? I mean, are there some recommendations around, you know, what you should be telling people?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the best of times, I always say to people in communications, internal communications, do not overload with messages. We have neither the time nor the space in our general day-to-day working lives to deal with overload of information. Right now, absolutely forget it. Yeah. So one little tip is to maybe use the rule of three in communications, and that's the rule that says that our brains process communications best when they're organized in threes. So have a think about the three key messages that you might want to communicate in that day and try and stick really rigorously just to those three.
Righto. Okay. And should we be talking corporately? I mean, you've talked about trying to get away from the facts and the data, but I mean, what should our tone be? What should our style be?
Absolutely. You know, tone of voice has become something that's risen to the fore. Organizations, leaders leading in terms of their tone of voice or personality in their communications, really ditching that corporate robot forever. Here's a real opportunity to ditch him forever and focus on tone of voice. And one good way to communicate emotionally, of course, is to use stories.
Right.
A great video I saw the other day had a leader, CEO of a multinational. He was in his kitchen. He was doing keepy-uppy, trying to set his own personal record. He'd brought himself to the communications and really kind of vulnerably revealed a side of him that his employees would never have known existed. So use stories, use personal stories to connect at this important time.
Lorna, how would you advise somebody to encourage their leaders to pick up on some of those things that Charlotte was saying, you know, the keepy up is in the kitchen.
Right. So I think the first thing to acknowledge here is that all of us, to one degree or another at the moment, we're in shock. And so we're working from a stress response place very often, particularly if you're a leader and you're trying to keep everything together at home and you've shifted your working environment and you're trying to lead and keep an organization's wheels on the track. So just cut yourself some slack. You know, be kind to yourself. You don't need to be perfect. What you do and say doesn't need to be perfect. Those facts and figures that you were talking about, you know, very often there are corporate armor, aren't they? And all of that's being stripped away as we're filming from our spare rooms with the laundry and the kids and the dog behind us. And that's absolutely fine. In fact, people will trust you and connect with you more the more real and vulnerable that you are. And I think giving yourself permission to do that will make it easier to communicate more honestly in times like this, because, you know, you don't have all the answers, and that's fine and normal. There's a Donald Rumsfeld quote that I used to use with leaders who were going through change, which is, you know, we've got known knowns, we've got unknown knowns, we've got unknown unknowns, and we've got a bunch of those at the moment. So acknowledge it. Say, I don't know. And that's okay. And when you do that, you give your people permission to be unsure and vulnerable and to ask questions as well, which is really powerful.
I think, certainly there's always this sort of fear that we mustn't communicate until we've got all the answers. And of course, we none of us have all the answers at the moment, do we? And I was chatting with a client earlier this week who had been trying to push out some communication to their people at the end of last week, following a very good online virtual kind of town hall event that they'd run. And they held it back till they had all the answers to all the questions. Their heart was in the right place. You know, they wanted to answer them all. But because they couldn't answer them all, they ended up not sending this communication out until end of the Friday of a bank holiday long weekend. So it kind
of... And that's right, Jo, you know, and what this causes is a kind of lack of certainty. And we know that certainty is so important at the minute in terms of being able to keep people as much as we can in the towards state as opposed to the fight and flight mode away state. Mm. And a key bit of learning is keep your communication regular. And if you don't have all the answers, just tell people you don't have the answers, but don't put up a wall of silence at any point during this crisis.
Absolutely. Important point to remember. So great, thank you everyone for listening. Lorna, Charlotte, thank you for being in the Hive today. Please put your questions, put your challenges, tell us what it is you want us to talk about at YouTube or on LinkedIn, and we'll address it on the next Hive session. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.